This is CliffCentral.com.
All right. It's Maroon 5 with Kendrick Lamar and Don't Wanna Know. Touch Central FM, CliffCentral.com. It's a Thursday morning. Puzza Thursday, baby. You ready for the weekend? It's only one day away. It's a pleasure this morning to have two of the biggest stars in adult video in with us. And, you know, it's like a little bit tweedy even say video, because these days the porn industry is almost ahead of everybody else in terms of what it's doing. That's where the innovation's happening. That's where we're going to see virtual reality and 3D and all the rest of it before we see it anywhere else. And I still think that there are a huge number of people in the world who think, you know, oh, well, this is a very much underground, clandestine thing. Actually, you'd be surprised at how mainstream some of this stuff is. And also, what big stars these two ladies sitting in front of me are. And not just to a bunch of, you know, bored, miserable, unhappily married men. Like, there are a lot of guys in the world who know who these two are. This is like A-grade celebrity stuff, if you ask me. Hey, Mubs, do you recognize them? I know you've probably seen some of their work before.
You know, I probably have. I watch porn, so bring it on.
Sure, absolutely. All right, so let's say hello this morning to Jessica Drake and to Tanya Tate, who are our stars in the studio with us this morning to talk about all kinds of things, and there is so much to talk about. So, ladies, welcome. What a pleasure.
Wow. Good morning. Thanks for having us.
Wow, it's really it's cool to meet you guys. I don't even know where to start. Maybe we got to start with the news, Jessica, because you've been in the news. I mean, this is quite a big story. You tell me what you can and can't say here. I don't want to get you into any trouble. But you dropped a bombshell the other day. Presidential candidate Donald Trump has been in the news, obviously, because he's running. He's been in the news because of his relationships with various women while he was or wasn't married. And it's none of my business, and it's none of yours either. But he apparently had a proposition for you a while ago. In where was it? In Florida?
No, it wasn't in Florida. It was at a celebrity golf tournament in Lake Tahoe.
Okay, and he came up to you and said, "Yeah, Jessica, look at me. I'm going to be president."
He did not.
Was this a long time ago?
It was a long time ago.
Uh-huh.
I made a statement on Saturday concerning the events, and I have to stick to that very carefully. Obviously, I have an attorney in this situation. But yeah, I did meet him and was around him for a while.
Well, let me play your actual statement.
Go ahead, so please do that.
I'll save you the trouble.
That's much easier. Thank you.
Then we can relax and talk about porn.
That sounds good.
Ago, I was working for Wicked Pictures, an adult film company, at a golf tournament in Lake Tahoe. I was at Wicked's booth when I met Donald Trump in the celebrity gift room early in the morning before he teed off. He flirted with me and invited me to walk along the golf course with him, which I did. During that time, he asked me for my phone number, which I gave to him. Later that evening, he invited me to his room. I said I didn't feel right going alone, so two other women came with me. In the penthouse suite, I met Donald again. When we entered the room, he grabbed each of us tightly in a hug and kissed each one of us without asking permission. He was wearing pajamas. A bodyguard was also present. He asked me about my job as an adult film star, about details on shooting porn, and he also asked us about our personal relationships and whether we were married or single.
What kind of pajamas were these? I'm trying to imagine Donald Trump in pajamas. Ugh.
What kind of pajamas would you imagine them to be?
Like silk, like long, maybe like a pattern on them.
I'm imagining them with a pattern on, like old men pajamas.
We're just going to keep imagining, aren't we?
Okay, you're not going to be able to tell us about that. Not even the pajamas you could tell us about.
Here's the thing. I shared details at the press conference that were very carefully vetted, Okay. And I have declarations of people that are corroborating my story and witnesses.
So this is like a deposition.
And I can't really deviate from that.
Sure.
Because it was never my intent to receive any monetary compensation for any part of my story. So I don't want people to think, oh, well, she's got these juicy details that we can pay her for. The reality is I do have the juicy details, but I can't be paid for them. So
what made you decide to do this? Because you've never been political in an overt sense.
Actually, I am.
you are in terms of yeah. I know about the work that you've done, for example, in education.
Sure.
In trying to get more young girls, for example, to know about how the industry works and also how to look after themselves, health. Yeah. Education.
Well, I mean, not just the industry, but I mean, I think that education is the only way we're ever going to make progress in things like sexual assault and STIs and the spread of HIV. So I've always been an advocate for education, obviously educating women, but educating everyone.
And in terms of LGBTI rights,
yep,
right?
Yep, I do a lot of that. I'm a worker, a sex worker. I identify as a sex worker and I advocate for sex worker rights. Mm-hmm. You know, I identify as a feminist. So I think that I always have been to some degree politically motivated, but I would say more ethically motivated than anything else. So for me, it was the experience of the tapes being released.
This is those grab her by the pussy tapes.
Yeah.
Right?
And I mean, he is at that point admitting to being that type of an individual. Those are his own words. Those aren't the words of anyone else. That's him bragging. And I think that at that point, there's no making anything up when the words are coming from the man's mouth.
Mm-hmm. There's no like argument for context or any of that stuff.
True.
But look, before any of the guys who tuned in just to hear you two start losing their erections, let's just wrap this up. Because I do know that a lot of people are fascinated by this story.
Yeah, they are.
When I say that you're not political, what I mean is you've never really been party political in an overt sense,
yes,
right?
Yes, that is very
because
correct.
Because you're out there working. You don't really, you know, whether it's President Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump, normally you couldn't give a damn.
Well, actually.
But the way he's come out now. Yeah. He's definitely positioned himself in a certain way. And obviously the media have something to do with this, with the leaked tape and all the rest.
Yeah.
But, you know, before this, I mean, were you an avid Democrat? Did you make it known to people that you were a Democrat or a Republican?
So I don't normally discuss my party affiliation, but I can assure you that I vote in every election.
Okay.
I take it very seriously. And I don't just take a look at the ballot and the written words on the ballot. I do my research. And I encourage everybody to do the same.
And I would imagine because of the industry that you've been involved in for years, you're kind of a little more open-minded and perhaps a little more left-leaning than many people would in terms of personal freedoms, liberty, that kind of thing, the ability to choose.
Freedom of speech and
big deal, right?
Freedom of choice is very important to me. Yeah, very, very important to me. And it's something that I thought about very carefully. I mean, this is not easy for me. Let me assure you, this has not been easy for me at all.
Well, he's attacking you personally.
Well, he actually responded to me. And I think in his response, and I can't discuss it much further than to say, please take a look at the response, not that his campaign made to me,
personally.
But take a look at the response that he personally made to me. And let's ask ourselves, not just as the United States, not just as a country, but let's ask ourselves on a global level why we think that it's acceptable to brush something like unwanted sexual advances under the rug because someone has sex on camera or is a sex worker or has sex for that matter, right? Like that shouldn't make anyone a bad person.
You know, I'm so glad you brought that up. And I really didn't want to get too serious with
That's
you guys.
Okay.
This morning, but this stuff, this
I'm
stuff,
all right.
I love this though. I love the fact that you're forcing people in a very positive way to start taking seriously jobs that before they would just write you off as being, oh, well, she's a porn star, then she can't possibly have opinions. She can't possibly be involved in this, or she can't possibly make a difference here.
Sex work is work.
Right.
Sex work is work.
And it's hard work.
It's hard work. Oh, I mean, like, I'm not saying that your job isn't hard or that your job isn't hard. People that are out there on the front line, like, their jobs aren't hard. that's why it's called a job, right?
Sure.
You know, so.
I think that our job is definitely a lot more fun than some other jobs. You know.
It can be, yeah.
We get paid, let's face it, we get paid to go into a studio. We get made to look beautiful, hair, makeup, clothes. We get there standing in front of the camera, and then you get to have sex with beautiful people, whether it be men or women. And, you know, it is a job. And some days you go in and you think, oh God, the chemistry is not going to click with the other person. But you make that chemistry click. You make that day happen. You make that scene amazing because you know that your fans are going to be there, are going to be watching it.
And then you get to visit us in South Africa for Sexpo. That's very cool.
I mean, look, let me tell you, one of the biggest highlights of my job has been travel and meeting people. And I've been with Wicked Pictures as a contract performer now for 10 plus years. And Wicked sent me here to Sexpo years and years ago. And it's why Joburg is one of my favorite places ever. Like, it's an honor for me to be able to be here talking about not what I'm talking about today, but just sex in general and my job and doing workshops at Sexpo and launching the Wicked Central Caroline. Like, those are the things that I'm here to do. And, you know, we're just going to have an amazing time.
You know, I'm amazed that there are so many people who instantly recognize you everywhere, because it shouldn't be a big deal, but it is. You know how people are. They're all uptight about this kind of thing. I mean, MILF of the year 9 times in a row.
Yeah. No,
actually, it's 11 now.
Oh, wait.
I just want another one.
And I'm number 11.
You're number 11 what?
The 11th accuser.
Oh, right. You're the number 11 accuser. That's quite right.
God, 11. Okay. 11. So, 11. Alex 11.
11's our lucky number this morning.
It is today, yeah.
All right. So let's just talk about your MILF of the year. This is a huge category in porn. MILF porn is enormous.
Yes.
How did you get cast in this straight away? They just go, oh, she looks like a mom.
I think it's like an age thing. You know, you come into the industry, and I didn't start. I started 8 years ago. So I was kind of like late on starting. And when I came in, you know, I got labeled MILF, and I was like, what the hell is this
straight
label?
Away.
And I was, at first, I was like so uncomfortable with it. I thought, oh, I don't know about this. But then I realized actually it's embracing like an older woman, and it's an older woman that's very sexually confident, that knows what she wants, kind of, you know. And I thought, actually, that is me. And I, you know, I've done a lot of movies with like young guys and young girls, and I've started directing now, and I direct for Philly Films and Smash Pictures, and it's always like the older woman, the MILF, and the young girl, and it's like, you know, we're seeking out that young girl and just kind of like turning her into a lesbian. And
in a lot of your movies, you have a daughter, and then you introduce the daughter to a guy, and then you get the daughter to fuck the guy, and then you join in, right?
Oh, that's always so hot. Yeah, you know, and of course the daughter can never do it properly, so you know, Mummy Tanya always has to teach the daughter, you don't do it that way, you do it this way.
So you show her how you like handle a dick and that kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
It's very exciting.
Or of course, vagina.
Or vagina,
You know, a lot of threesomes with me.
How'd you get into this? Sounds exciting.
No, I was working in an office in England, and I was like really bored, and I just finished in a relationship with a guy. And you know when you're just sitting there, and I was out with a friend, and we went back to his house, and he puts a movie on, and he's like, whoa, and I was thinking, oh, I'm not into you. But I started watching the movie, and I thought, I could do that.
Oh, it was porn?
Yeah,
this guy, he took you home. This is a really classy move. So this guy takes you home. He goes, all right, we go home from office park. We'll go to my place. I'll give you something to drink. And then when you're drinking with me, I'm porn in background. Is that what he did?
Yeah. I was just sitting there on the couch, and I was
so smooth.
I was just like,
I mean, have you ever been hit on in such a crass way? Jesus.
No comment.
Come on. Oh, right, of course. Yeah, spot on.
But so anyway, I researched the market. I actually went into, this is so funny, I went into a local adult store, and I had the woman pulling the DVDs off the shelf, and I'm writing them all down.
Oh, wow. This is your research.
This is my research, going into a porn shop. And so I wrote off to some of the companies, sent some pictures, and they invited me to London.
Now, when you send in pictures, do you have to send them like full body shots? Do you have to send
naked?
Them like...
Totally.
Do they ask for like leg spread beaver shots and stuff like that?
Well,
too?
They didn't ask for anything when I sent them. Oh. But you know, I actually do an amateur. I've done a lot of amateur casting couches. Like I did sex tour, Tanya Tate sex tour of Ireland, Tanya Tate sex tour of Scotland. So it's kind of like meeting the fans. So now I
couldn't
still
have found
do
any talent in Scotland, right?
Oh, you are not so good.
Really?
You know, like, the Scottish were good. But I'll tell you, like, because I'm from Liverpool, and a lot of people from Liverpool originated from Ireland, so I think our sense of humour is kind of quite similar to the Irish.
Right.
And I think the Irish lads were definitely up for it more, but I think that was because when we went to Ireland, one of the guys that took part was a pro-am athlete. He was a hurler for Wexford.
Sounds so sexy when she says it like that.
It was front page news. And so I think the Scottish lads, by the time we got around there, they were like poo in the pants, you know. They didn't want to be...
That caused a bit of a scandal, did it?
Yeah.
That this guy was quite well known.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, everyone, like the newspapers were like offering to pay people. Do you know who this man is? We will pay you. I'm like, it's just guys having sex. And all they're doing is having sex on camera. That's the bad thing.
If you roll into my village, some bummy village in Scotland where nothing ever happens, you climb out of some caravan and you go, oi, come over here, I got something for you. You think I'm not going to go?
I would.
Of course. What are these people, insane?
Oh, it was definitely a lot of fun. But yeah,
you should do one of those in South Africa. You roll around this place, you'll find a lot of interest.
I like a lesbian one now, so I get hot girls. And I also started doing, instead of just like the boy-girl sex, I now do the femdom.
What's that?
When I dominate you.
Oh,
so
okay.
I will do whatever you want. I had a guy the other day. I took his strap-on anal cherry.
Oh, wow.
And he gave it ever so willingly. I had him licking my shoes. I was spitting on him.
Nice.
I was just like, he was licking my feet. I made him, you know, orgasm on my feet. I shoved the orgasm stuff in his mouth.
Do you decide the content here? You do all of this?
Yes. Oh, wow. Yes. I'm sorry. Let's just go back
rewind.
Again.
You're totally in charge of the situation.
Let's just rewind. You made him come all over you, and then you made him
eat it.
Yes.
Why do you like that so much? Because it's getting some of your own back.
I think a lot of women like the sound of that.
Yes. Do you know what? And the guy, the young guy, he was a young guy, and he said, I will do anything. So when he come and I said, you know, you're not getting paid for this. He said, you're okay. I said, oh, and then I said, is there anything that you will not do? He said, no.
Never say that.
I was like, oh, okay.
Well, now, Jessica, I mean, you're really, really famous in the adult video business. I mean, you've won enormous numbers of awards. You really are in so many great videos, and you've done some great material. And
I brought you some.
Thank you. Yeah, so they actually gave me some of them just now.
Good.
But it must be interesting for you to also see an evolution. You said you've been with Wicked for like 10 years.
Yeah.
That's incredible to be in porn for 10 years and people still want to see you and people still love you and people ask for you. I mean, it must be great to be in this business for that long and still be desirable.
Well, look, one of the greatest things about being with Wicked is that I've always been able to pick and choose what I wanted to do and with who. So when I started doing things like... And apparently I can speak freely here.
Yeah, whatever you like. Go for it.
When I started doing things like group sex or anal sex or DPs, it was always with who I wanted to do them with, on my terms. It was never like, okay, next Tuesday at 9 a.m. is an anal scene. It was never like
that for me. And it's going to be some ugly fat dude who pitches up.
I mean, I choose my screen partners really carefully. Like, I have to have chemistry with the people that I work with. It's really important to me because sometimes it can be work. Sometimes that you're doing a scene after doing a full day of dialogue, you're doing a scene at 3 o'clock in the morning, outside, on a rock, under a rain machine, you may not feel like fucking right then. You might not. And like, for a guy, I have so much respect for men that are in the industry because they have to get it up. You know, they really have to have that stamina. We shoot scenes for an hour and a half, 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours sometimes. Wicked tends to shoot scenes a little bit longer because we have different broadcast requirements, right? So we might sell scenes to a cable network. We might sell scenes that are just XXX, you know, with pop shots. But we shoot all these different versions and everything. Another benefit for me being with Wicked is that I only make about 5 or 6 movies a year.
Oh, that's fantastic. So you're never exhausted and tired and bored.
Well, I'm exhausted from other things, but I'm not exhausted from shooting movies, you know, and only get to pick and choose. You know, I did a movie that just came out called DNA with Asa Akira. She's my current woman crush. I've done a lot of work with Asa lately. And in a few months, I'm shooting a big showcase. And a showcase movie for us in our industry is where the girl is in every single scene. And I haven't done very many of those, you know? And that's my favorite thing, because then I'm like, yeah, I want this fantasy and I want these people. And like, pretty much every fantasy I've had so far in my life, I've been able to act out on screen and felt really safe about it, right? Because everybody's tested. I know that everyone's been tested for everything, and it's in a controlled environment. So if I want to have sex with four guys at one time, it's cool.
So you don't, I mean, you don't have to have condoms and stuff.
I'm 100% a condom-only performer. But that being said, I'm opposed to Proposition 60.
Which
so,
is
right now, that's a law that we are facing on the upcoming ballot on November the 8th that they're trying to pass off as simply a condoms and porn law. Mm-hmm. But the reality is it's a broad overreach having to do with one particular individual writing this proposition and insinuating that he's to be kind of the czar of porn. And it allows private citizens to sue performers when a condom is not visible in the final product of an adult movie.
Wow,
so
that's ridiculous.
People at home watching one of us could note that a condom is not being used, or maybe even suspect maybe there is a condom, but they just can't see it. And so they not only can sue us, but they also incentivized that program. So they would be receiving, I think it's 25% of the fines accrued for that violation. And it also exposes our public records to everyone, really, our real names, our addresses, our phone numbers, and things like that. So that's Prop 60.
Yeah, and, I think it's really dangerous that this is going ahead. But the guy, this an individual that's doing it, he has like an... It's a AIDS kind of like, it's a charity. So people donate money to this charity.
So he's using non-government organization funds to push this through.
Yes. And at this point, I believe he's spent over $4 million on his campaign against the adult industry.
Does he come out of the adult industry, or is he like from a religious group or something?
He does not come out of the adult industry, but we're not 100% sure exactly where he comes from.
Wow. Very mysterious.
But he's been around for quite a while. He's an older guy, and I believe maybe in the past he was willing to do press, but I know that a journalist contacted me before and asked me to do a piece on it, saying that he would be speaking as well. Hmm. And I was like, no, there's no way he's going to show up. And sure enough, he pulled out.
The biggest irony that I find in all of that you've just said is that I know for a fact that us ordinary individuals going about our day-to-day business, a lot of us have unprotected sex quite regularly.
Sure. Plenty. Mm.
And yet, when we look to the porn industry, there's this insistence that you should be seen to be practicing safe sex. We're in our very own bedrooms. We know that we open ourselves up to any number of potential dangers.
And I don't think that it's necessarily the porn industry's role to be educators. What I do for education is separate from my career at being a porn performer. But I think you do have a problem when people's first exposure to sex is porn.
Yeah.
And I think that we need to be able to somehow navigate that. And people need to be able to understand that performers are tested every 14 days, you know? And I think that when people see performers not using condoms, hey, at least we're tested. You know?
In fact, it's probably you're probably safer than if you go out to some club at night and you meet someone and you go home with them. I mean, that's probably a way more dangerous situation.
All our scene partners are always tested, and it's very regular. You know, before I come into the industry, there was no way I was getting tested every 14 days. You know, and I don't shoot a lot of movies. The movies that I do now, I just do mainly lesbian movies and directing. Mm-hmm. And so for me, every time that I do a movie, I've virtually got a brand new test. So, you know, it feels like every time I'm going to do a scene, I've been tested. People in the general community, they don't get tested that often. Every time you pick up a new partner, there's not necessarily going to get tested.
Right.
So I feel even safer to know that that person's been tested and I'm tested.
Jessica, is there a hierarchy in porn? I mean, are there certain stars who can really demand certain things? It's kind of like in Hollywood, you've got your A-list celebrities and then you've got those people who are underneath and then the people right at the bottom who will do anything for a role.
Mm.
There is a bit, right?
This is kind of a hard question to address. I mean, you definitely have performers that are super competitive with their rates. I, as a director, pay everyone the rate that they ask. I never try to get a performer to lower their rate. I think that performers should base their rates on what they think their worth is, and I think they should hold very firm to that. However, I think as the industry has progressed, I've seen a lot of new girls come in and not know any better and been talked down in their rates either by agents or managers. And
have those rates gone up or down since the internet became the major sort of distribution channel?
I'm a contract performer, which means I receive salary. So I am only aware of rates as a director as they are quoted to me by talent. But I have noticed that they're much lower since people have been all over the internet.
Right. So I mean, these days you can get anything you want, right?
Here's the thing, you know, there's a lot of sites out there, torrented sites, pirated sites, even sites that are part of our industry that are putting up full scenes for free.
Yeah.
That damages us, you know, and the company budgets have gone lower. So Wicked is a very successful company. They have a big budget, you know. Mm-hmm. So Jessica is very, you're very lucky, really, that you can give the performers what they want and what they ask for and what they are worth.
What sort of range of fee are we talking about here for a scene?
Would you discuss your rates on the radio?
Not your rates.
No,
I'm talking about others.
I can't because of my contract. I cannot.
I get really uncomfortable when people say, "Oh, what's the scene rate?" Because it's like I don't come in and say to like a radio performer, producer or whatever, you know, how much do you earn? And if you work on this radio,
and for me, I don't get paid a scene rate because I'm contract salary, so I get a check every 2 weeks.
Okay, well then,
and I don't get paid per scene.
I think it's people who are inquisitive and curious because they wonder if it's a big money spinner. Like you could be really, really wealthy. You could be a millionaire from porn.
So I think that if you're smart, and I think that if you don't just stick to shooting scenes, I think that if you diversify, like both Tanya and I have Fleshlights. We also have Onyx from Kiru.
Yes.
We are so.
What's an Onyx from Kiru? What is that?
Kiru partnered with Fleshlight.
Okay.
And it's a masturbator that's coded with scenes so that people with penises can use them.
That was good LGBTI language. People with penises.
Yeah, penis owners versus vulva owners. Penis owners can use these and watch scenes, and they react and respond to what you see on camera. So they're really, really incredible. Mine just launched maybe a few months ago, and Tanya's, I believe, had it for a while.
Congrats, ladies. So, that's big.
Yeah. But the thing is, you diversify, right? And the key for me with longevity in this industry is I have never just been a performer. Like when I came in, like I was always a feature dancer. And then in the past 5 years, I've been involved on the educational side, right? So I do public speaking, I do universities, I teach workshops, and I travel, and I do things like Sexpo, you know, and it's sort of like juggling.
That's cool.
You know, you just keep a lot of irons in the fire.
And for me, you know, the same thing. I have a lot of different things going on. When I first started, I was a performer. I've progressed to directing. I also have a publicity company. So, you know, we have PR for other adult stars, and we have the Fleshlights and the products that we, you know, we promote. But I'm also very interactive with my fans. So, you know, people can text me, they can text TanyaT.com. Yeah. It's like they can call TanyaT.com. So they can interact with me on a one-on-one personal basis. I do like.
Do you have time
webcam.
For all of that?
I make the time.
You have to.
You find the time because each different thing is bringing in a different form of income. You know, I have my members website, TanyaT.com.
Right.
So everything just comes in and everything comes, you know, you can't just rely on performing. And the young girls that come into the industry, and I say to them, do something else as well. And don't just spend all your money. Because for a young girl, when you start and you start making scenes, you know, it's not like you're working in a store.
How old were you when you started?
Oh, God, 8 years ago. I was like 30s, you know.
Okay, so yeah, the MILF thing kind of fits then for you. How old were you when you started, Jess?
25.
Wow, okay. Yeah. That's a good age, but at 25, you don't know what to do with money.
Well, but I think when you're 18, you really don't know what to do with money. At least at 25, I had a bit of world experience, and I kind of had a view of the broader picture. But, I mean, when you get all this money, especially at first, that you're not used to having, it's unexpected income, at least at first, and you're like, oh, well, I didn't have it to begin with. And it's gone, right. You know, and that's the thing that you really have to drive home to new performers, especially with the internet now. It's just performers come in, they get shot out, and then they're done. But then they're also carrying the stigma of having been a sex worker, having been in the adult industry, and it definitely limits your options after that.
But with the internet at the moment, how can anyone be? I mean, almost everyone is on the internet in some kind of porn,
of
right? Almost everyone in the world.
Yes.
There are about 5% of the Earth's population who aren't in porn. In some way, shape, or form.
Well, so why did you look in that direction?
You're in no position to judge.
I have no idea. Those homemade
my
videos.
My mother keeps hers in a sealed USB folder.
I should never be seen naked. But yeah, I mean, a lot of people do a lot of homemade videos and they upload them onto the internet. I mean, does that suddenly make them porn stars or just, you know,
this people amateur stuff. What do you think of that?
I mean, there's a lot of amateur stuff. They have specific sites for that. Mm-hmm. That's very amateur-based. And a lot of the fans love the amateur-based stuff. You know, for me, when I did the Tanya Tate Sex Tour of Ireland and Scotland and the Tanya Tate Casting Couch, it's amateur guys. And I think for the audience to watch that, and they can actually imagine themselves being there, you know, because if you're an amateur, you're not banging like a porn star. You've not got the length, you've not got the strength, you've not got the stamina to keep going. You know, it's going, going, and it's maybe it'll go to the end, maybe it won't.
Sometimes I wonder why you make these scenes so long. I just never make it to the end of the scene.
But I mean, I think amateur stuff is very relatable.
Sure.
And for all the like polished and high budget stuff I've done, I get so much fan interaction from Twitter or from Instagram where I'm with my dogs or I'm eating or I'm hanging out or like, this is my day.
Because a lot of people just want a real, you know, like
they
conversation.
Wanna
know, they want to know that you're an actual person.
Yeah.
They want to know
doll.
You.
Yeah.
They want to know you. They want to know things about you. You know, I like to share with them different things that I enjoy. And I do a lot of cosplay, which is like costume play. Mm-hmm. So I go to a lot of comic conventions. I've made movies with me wearing superhero costumes. And actually, there's a cosplay contest at the Sexpo. And I believe
what are you going to be?
What are you dressing up as?
I didn't bring one. I need a costume.
Well, I have to say, one of the most favorite ones that I've done is Catwoman. And it's the Julie Newmar Catwoman version.
Right.
So it's like that skin tight cat suit, you know. And I have to say, I was wearing it once at a convention and Julie Newmar was signing and I was with this guy who was her friend and he said, come with me. And then we walked nearby Julie and she said, oh, hello. And his name was Wally. And hello, Wally. And then she saw me and she went, bring those beautiful bosoms here, she said to me. I was like, oh my God, Julie Newmar.
Nice.
And I stood next to her and she had flat shoes on.
Yeah.
She was much taller than me and she was graceful. And I was like, wow. She is. I mean, I've met a few people. I've met Linda Carter, you know, Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
And I've met her a couple of times.
Wow.
And she was very beautiful.
But this cosplay thing is huge. I mean, there are a lot, they've got Comic-Con and these kinds of things in America, which are just enormous. And you go to these conventions and it's just millions of people, right?
There's so many people there. Yeah. You know, I do sign-in times so people know where they can come and meet me.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also, you know, you can just walk through a comic convention and everyone's like stopping you. Can I take your picture? So it's something that I enjoy and it's something that I continue to do. You know, I have a cosplay blog, justalotatanya.com.
Mm-hmm.
And the people are asking me, you know, hey, why don't you do your own superhero? So I've come up with my own Lady Titan.
And what is her name?
Lady Titan.
Lady Titan.
Yes. If you people can just Google me now. Tanya Tate, Lady Titan.
Lady Titan. I like that.
Nice. Yeah.
with her tight vagina taking on the world. That's where the Titan comes from, right?
Oh my goodness.
There's a play.
It's actually very nice, the costume. It's like a little leotard. It's a plunging neckline.
Sure.
And like knee-high boots and a cape and some gloves. So the background story is that I'm a failed actress in Hollywood, and I find this suit in some basement and put it on, and it gives me strength. So it's kind of like the story is about finding out how the suit works. So
tell me quickly, because you mentioned you met some famous people. I mean, you must sometimes meet a lot of really, really high profile people who are kind of very honest and open and obvious about the fact that they want to get to know you. They've seen your work, but they might be, you know, sort of, again, Hollywood A-listers or musicians, people like that. It must be quite a thrill. So I can meet these people, and they want to meet you more than you want to meet them.
It must happen to you. Some noise.
I mean, I have, put it this way, I have friends that are in different industries, and you know, and we are friends, and it's not, I'm not banging them, because just because I'm a porn star doesn't mean I shag everybody that I meet.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I think she just explained in that sentence what we were talking about with me earlier.
Correct.
Yeah. You want to talk about it that way. And I don't want people to think that in situations that I've been in where, I mean, look, I travel the world, as does Tanya. We meet all kinds of people. I'm messaged from amazing, amazing people that I really look up to who want to meet me and want to talk to me and everything else. And everyone, with very, very few exceptions, have been really cool with me.
Yeah, yeah.
Really respectful.
They're not trying to get you into bed.
And I am also not trying to lay all of that out in public. Does that make sense?
I totally get it.
You know what I'm trying to say here?
You've got a real relationship going. The last thing you want to do is throw that out there by mentioning it.
Yeah.
So
it's funny though, because like you do get into like friendships with different people from different industries all around the world. You know, it's like everybody has personal friendships. It's just that sometimes it's easier for us to make those friendships, because people will reach out to us, or we will be in places where we will see these people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you know, it's funny because like some of them have followed me on Twitter, and then they got told you cannot to unfollow follow you cannot follow her on Twitter.
Absolutely.
And it's just like amazing. Same. Because it's just like, I'm just another person, but that the people at the top of your industry are telling you what you can and can't do, and they're not allowed to follow a porn star.
But that to me is weird, because I think that you have more honest conversations with people who are in an honest business like you are. Like it seems to me, you know, everybody knows what their lane is. There's no need for anybody to be lied to or to bullshit each other. It's like, I'm here, I'm in the adult film industry. This is what I do for a living. You've seen everything that there is to see about me. Now, if you're going to have a conversation, it better be meaningful.
Yeah.
Like, it's not going to be bullshit, you know?
Yeah.
Like, how's the weather today? Or any of that small talk. And you also know that because of what you both just said now, a lot of the guys who may think that they're going to meet you and the first thing that's going to happen is they're going to sleep with you, those are not the kind of guys you're going to want to talk to for long anyway. And they're not going to have a lot to say to you,
it's
right?
That's not how it works.
Do you know, you weed those out straight away. You know, once the messages start coming backwards and forwards, and you think, okay, he wants to bang me. And it's like, you've got to, like, I'll spell it out to them. You know, someone's like, hey, do you want to come here? Well, I actually really want to go there and do that thing that you're suggesting to me. But let me just tell you now, this is not going to happen. I'm not going to come. Yeah. And you are not going to bang me.
Yeah.
We are going to do this on a friendship basis. And I make it extremely clear in the beginning, because I want that to become a friendship as opposed to, I'll see if I can get in a knickers.
But are these guys stupid? Or is it just that they get wrapped up in the fantasy of it all?
I think that a lot of the time it's just based on the assumption that because they see us, or I'll speak for myself, see me having sex on camera, that makes me super accessible to everybody. Mm. I mean, I'm just going to base it on that.
No, I think it's true. It's true for most people in the industry. You know, they see us on camera. It's like, even sometimes when the fans come to see us at the conventions, like, I love meeting the fans. You know, I've been to Sexpo UK. I do all the Exotica shows in America. Like, this is my second time at Sexpo South Africa. I just love meeting the fans. But sometimes the fans don't really get it. And you know, in person, online, and it's like they'll come up to us and it's the wandering hand syndrome,
yeah.
You know, and they think because...
But it doesn't happen often, right?
No, not often
and
at
not
all.
Here in South... I don't want to be embarrassed about South Africans behave like assholes.
You know, I have to say, I don't remember any wandering hands from South Africa.
Thank God. But there are, I mean, there are a lot of creeps. Like in any business, they're going to be creeps and they will ruin and poison the well for everybody. There are a lot of sad kind of guys in their 40s who still live in their parents' basements who fantasize and have very unhealthy relationships with you that you don't even know about. Those kinds of things must freak you out a little bit.
Way to motivate me before work.
You know, there's a lot of fans, you know, and there's a lot of different kinds of fans. And, you know, here's the thing that I say, you know, without the fans, we are nothing.
It's true.
You know, and so I appreciate all my fans. And, you know, yet sometimes there are some that overstep the mark, but you have to tell them. You just have to be straight with them. You know, I'm getting begging emails. I really want to be with you. And it's their fantasy. Yeah. And okay. It's like, I am your fantasy and I want you to watch me and I want
Let me ask
to.
You this. Have you ever had a fan who has, they've been talking to you like that and then you saw what they looked like and you thought they were so attractive, you thought, yeah, I will?
Not that's spoken to me in that fashion first.
Okay.
Have I been attracted to fans?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
All right.
Conversely, when I was dating, I tried for a short time to date civilians, people that are not in our industry.
Civilians, yeah.
People that are not in our industry. Right. And so I had two experiences. One, I started dating someone a long time ago and I introduced myself by my real name. I didn't say what I did for a living, but then once we kind of got a little bit more serious and I realized we may have sex, I owed that to him to let him know right. what my job was. So I told him and his reaction was, oh, I know, I have all your movies.
Uh-oh.
And I was
turned
like,
you off, right?
I was like, well, turn me off. It made me go home. Like, I was like, well, that's really creepy.
Yes.
My other civilian dating experience was that I was dating someone and I was very upfront with them about who I was and what I did. And that was, oh, that's the coolest thing ever. My girlfriend's a porn star, you know, whatever. Until about 2 months in, 3 months in, it was like, But why do you have to go to work? Like,
oh.
Well, what are you doing? You don't really come, do you? Like, yeah. Well, what, you know? So
I think it's hard, you know, for us as adult performers to have relationships, you know, with civilians. I think for us, it's like we know what this is all about, you know, and if you're within our industry, whether it's different facets, you know, not just as a performer, you understand the industry. But
it's
for
a different
person,
world. It's very hard to understand.
Yeah, it's for a person being outside of that world and then looking in and then suddenly becoming part of it. It's very difficult to understand.
So you'd only date people in the industry now?
Well, sometimes it's better that way, but
yeah, sure.
You know, there are a lot of cute civilians out there, but it's what I'm saying is it's just difficult for them sometimes to accept what we do is a job.
Sure.
You know, and you've got your girlfriend's getting up, she's going to work, you know, and somebody is going to bang her that day. She's going to have sex with
for
somebody
a lot of men,
else.
They don't know how to handle that and how to process
it's,
that.
It's quite difficult. And I have to say, before I was in the industry, if I had a boyfriend that suddenly said, hey, you know, I'm going to be a stripper, I would actually have found that quite difficult to deal with. And that would just be, say, doing a stripping job. That wouldn't be like having
porn.
Sex with a beautiful girl, you know. And
so either of you dating at the moment?
Yes, I'm in an open relationship. I date men and I date women as well. The news, they were reporting that I'm married to my current partner, which I'm not. I found that really interesting that people were very fast to report that. But I'm in an open relationship and I identify as polyamorous and pansexual.
Okay, but this is hard for some people to get their heads around. First of all, the polyamorous and what did you say?
Pansexual.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means.
Explain those to us.
So pansexual is being attracted to people of many different genders. So I may be attracted to someone who's trans. I may be attracted to someone that identifies as male or female or queer or it depends on the person. It doesn't, I won't say, oh, I love men so much. Oh, I love women so much. It has much more to do with the
person.
Isn't
that the greatest compliment you could pay to someone is that I really appreciate you as a human being before I even know what your genitals are?
Yeah.
Huh?
I mean, that's
doesn't
what
that makes sense, Mavs?
It's what I'm into, you know?
Right. And then the open relationship, this is another thing people really struggle with. A lot of us don't know how to figure that out. Because when we're in a relationship, we feel ownership of each other, which is probably unhealthy, but we can't help it as humans.
Very, actually.
So you don't feel that. In an open relationship, you could say to whoever you're with, hey, listen, I really want to be with that girl this weekend. And it's cool.
So, first of all, relationships in general, I think, are very challenging, right? Even if you have a friendship relationship or just any type of relationship can be very challenging. Relationships are based on communication, not ownership. I think that as soon as you feel like you own someone or you are owned by someone, unless you're in a slave-master relationship, and that's a whole other conversation here, right? If we're going to talk about BDSM, then that's another discussion. But if you are
next thing Tanya's going to have us licking her shoes.
Yes, exactly.
Do you want to lick my
shoes? No, I'm okay with it.
You know, if you're all about that, I'll definitely... I can take my shoes off.
Absolutely.
I can shove my shoes in
belt?
Your mouth.
You know what, Tanya? I am so vanilla, you'd be bored to death within 5 seconds. I don't think I could live up to your standards. But anyway, you're saying...
Yeah, but being in an open relationship doesn't necessarily mean that both parties involved are just fucking everybody. Mm-hmm. Open relationships can be you're open in that you can date other people. Maybe you can make out or flirt with other people. Maybe you are completely open. Maybe both of you can have sex with other people as long as you tell each other.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's don't ask, don't tell. Like, it's all a matter of what works for you in your relationship. Hmm. They're all unique. They're all individual. And also, it's very fluid. Like, relationships will change over time. So what might be okay at one moment, in 1 month, 1 week, 1 day, can be renegotiated. And that's what it's all about. You're constantly renegotiating your relationship and communicating about it.
And we all go through stages where we want emotional connection or where we want sexual connection,
or
sometimes
both.
Where you don't want any.
Yeah,
right,
absolutely.
Yeah,
and there's nothing wrong with it. It's all a matter of what's right for you.
Flax, you've been dying to ask something. Go.
So I really like the...
Hi, I didn't even know he was back there.
Whoa. It's very creepy.
He's been lurking in the background.
I like finding out about the behind...
He's been drooling onto his microphone.
The behind the scenes parts of porn. So like the sequences, like you end with the guy coming on the girl's face, like that's like a tradition now.
Sure.
Yeah.
So I've always thought that maybe happens at the start of the scene and it's just post-edited. Because, like, how does the guy, like, hold in and then that's when he, you know?
Well, it's largely attributed to performance-enhancing drugs.
you see. Okay, yeah. let's get into that, please. Because, you know, we don't know what it takes. I remember reading an article about... a gay porn star who spoke about the lengths that he goes to maintain his erection. And he was talking about injecting all sorts of things into his member.
Yeah.
So, what happens behind the scenes?
So, I think something like that is a bit of an extreme case, although I certainly have heard of it happening. I'm friends with a male performer who did that so much that he had to be taken to the hospital a few times.
No.
Because, you know, you hear if you have an erection lasting longer than 4 hours, well, what they do when you go to the doctor...
help of a doctor.
Yeah, what the doctor does when you go in, if you've had that erection for so long, is they drain it.
Ouch. Sorry, why am I the only one laughing?
That's...
but
is it to do with pain? And then she starts laughing. It's like, I'm with you.
Okay, so it's not a pleasant experience.
No, she but I mean, this. There's a lot of Viagra, Levitra, Cialis, and that kind of thing. And I mean, I've definitely seen as a female performer in the past maybe 5 or 10 years, I've seen that increase. But I also remember when I first got in, the guys that were my scene partners were just really in it because they were so passionate about women.
Hmm.
And those are the older, more established male performers, which I continue to adore because they're just so into it. And now I think sometimes the younger male, newer performers, and correct me if I'm wrong or if you have a different opinion, but you know, they pop a pill and they go for hours and that's not quality sex. So also to what you were saying about how the pop shot signifies the end of the scene. Yeah, that was sign language. Pop shot signifies the end of the scene. I saw that as a female performer, probably it dawned on me, I'd say maybe 6 months into my time in the business. I was like, okay, so the end of the scene, the guy gets off, we're done. Where's mine?
Yeah.
Like, where's my orgasm?
Right.
So from that point on, I made it a point to really get as much pleasure as I could out of every scene that I've ever done. And I mean, sometimes they're harder than others, but that's why I pick really great people to get me off.
And it's no insult to you if a guy's struggling to get it hard, right?
No, that's huge pressure.
There's lights.
Everybody thinks they can do it, though. Yeah. Like, every guy's like, oh, get me into the business.
Trust me, I've tried and tested a lot of guys. And some of them, it's like, it's all over within the first few minutes.
Or it doesn't even get going. Yeah. Like it's all talk, right? The guy's so excited. And you know, there's the foreplay and the kissing and maybe a little oral sex. And then he realizes that there's cameras and lights and everybody's
and guys like,
focused on it. And yeah.
There's a lot of guys watching.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, yeah. Another guy's watching you and you've got to get your cock hard now. Come on. Let's
yeah.
go.
Yeah. Right now.
Could you describe for us the ideal penis and less ideal ones that you've had to deal with?
Oh.
Less ideal.
Oh. Shut up, Ben.
Is it a coincidence you just walked into the room?
He's our fluffer, ladies. It's Ben Karpinski.
Take Tanya, you go first.
Do you know, for me, it's like I'm not a length girl. You know, a lot of people think, oh, porn stars need big cocks. Actually, no. No, I don't want to get banged for half an hour nonstop by a 12
where it feels
inch
like it's in
cock.
Your throat.
Mm. Yeah, it's not only that. It like bruises you inside. It pushes against the front of you. It's like stabbing you. And then there's, you know, if we're talking about penis size, you know, an average or just above average is just fine for me. But it's not about the size. It's how you use it. So if you can keep that hard and you can put it in the right positions where it's going to pleasure me, you know, every penis and every vagina is different. So sure. Some guys... penis will go into me and I'll be like, oh my god, that feels so good, and you just know, and you've got the chemistry and it's so good. But there's also, you know, I've seen a lot of different penis sizes, and I've seen what you call innies, you know, where it's kind of in and you
what?
Have to like play with it to bring it out, and
it's a
like,
tiny, and you're using your fingers now to demonstrate this.
Yes,
she's using just her thumb and her index finger to go little movements.
Innie. So
you've had to deal with tiny little micro penises.
Yes, I've had micro penis.
Thank God Mavs has hope for me.
Shame. But it is, it's not the size for me, it's how you use it. And like a lot of people say, circumcised or uncircumcised. For me, I prefer circumcised, and the only reason is because it's more hygienic. And when you're dealing with guys that are not professional performers that come in, and even though like part of the scene, I'm putting them in the shower and I'm cleaning them, and it comes out and I'm thinking, it's not quite like you've been in the shower, you know. And so for me, circumcised is best on a hygiene basis, but only for that reason. Over
you
to
agree,
Jessica.
And now to me. Well, I'm going to echo what Tanya says about size, because one really can do so much more with a medium average size cock. I love anal sex, for instance, and there is no way that I'm going to have anal sex with a guy that's super hung. It's just not for me physically possible. Also, my pubic bones sit very close together, and I can just go long with a more average size. And just FYI, average size is only between 4 and 6 inches long. So, guys, don't stress when you're watching movies. Just remember that the camera adds 10 pounds and a certain number of inches.
What a kind thing for you to do to let us all feel better about ourselves.
But it's really true. As far as cut versus uncut, you know, it all depends on the guy. I'll just say that, because obviously hygiene is a huge concern, right? For men and for women. But I do love the feel of both cut and uncut for completely different reasons.
And you're both into women too. So what kind of women turn you on?
Oh, all kinds of women turn me on.
I love women.
I love women. I love curvy women. I love women that are genuine in their sexualities. I don't love women that only want to make out with women at a bar because guys think it's hot. I love women that are into women. I love women.
For me, you know, I direct lesbian movies. So I have to admit, I choose my girls. Here's how I choose my movies. I normally find the MILF first because I'm normally friends with the MILF. Yeah. And maybe, you know, we've had a little bit of a fondle off camera, a little bit of a smooch. You know, when we get together at the conventions, we have a few drinks and, you know.
Things happen.
And I they're more on my level because they're more my age group. So, you know, I do have personal friendships with them. So I'll find the MILF and I find the ones that look hot. I like curves. You know, I like boobs. I want my MILFs to look like women that are very strong performers, that are really into women. And then from there, I go on to the rest of the cast. So normally it's like MILFs and teens, you know. So, of course, everybody is over the age of consent.
Do you actually recruit, by the way, do you recruit people?
I did.
You did.
I did.
I will not.
I had a fan. I will not. I had a fan, and she's called Jasmine Summers, and she was what we call a Tanya Tater. And
Tanya Tater.
Yes. So it's hashtag, you know, some of our fans have little names. And she followed me and she came to the convention and she was super cute. This, like a little Latino, really dark hair, very tiny.
Almost like Ariana Grande type of look.
Kind of. Okay. A little bit of that look in her.
All right.
And she was super tiny, like 4'10" or 4'11". She'd probably kill me because I've probably made her shorter than she is.
Right.
And she wanted to be in a scene with me. She was, you know, she was my true fan. So I said, send me some naked pictures, you know, apply for the Tanya Tate casting couch. And she applied and I was like, she's super cute. And I was producing a movie for Philly Films, you know, and she's never shot a scene before. And I was like, I'd met her. I had really good vibes. And I said to the owner of Philly Films, can I put this girl in my movie? I said, she's brand new. I said, well, you know, I want to shoot with her. And he said, yeah.
Beautiful.
So the very first scene she got, it was not the Tanya Tate casting couch per se, in that it was just for my website, although it did appear on the TanyaTate.com website. She was actually in a movie that was going to be put out on DVD, that was going to be put out on TV, all, you know, straight away. And she got on there, and the scenario was, it was the Tanya Tate's Babysitting Academy, and she was coming to apply to be one of the girls that would be a babysitter. So, you know, what happens when you go and apply for the job? You know, you've got to impress the boss.
Yeah.
And I'm the boss.
And you're the boss.
I'm the boss. Well, we need to take some photographs, you know, to put it onto the website. Well, let's take some photographs. Well, let's take some photographs with you naked. Oh, you're not very comfortable. Well, why doesn't boss Tanya take her clothes off? So now you're more comfortable.
Beautiful. And, what a story.
So she like got through the whole of the scene. She was super cute. She was into girls. She has a girlfriend in real life. And this is what I love about girls that are really into girls. You don't have to have a girlfriend in real life. You just have to be genuinely into girls. They dive in. They are on the boobs. They are on the pussy. They don't care. They kiss. They touch. The fingers are everywhere. They'll stick their tongue in your ass. And it's like, I'm all about it. And she was one of them. And when that movie came out and it went to the reviewers, and we did do some behind the scenes. I know your guy likes behind the scenes. And I do a lot of behind the scenes for my movies. And at the very end, you know, it's like she had an interview and that went in. And the reviewers commented, they said, we did not know. I did not know that was her first ever scene, because you couldn't tell.
Amazing.
Civilians like to speak to use now,
you're
your
using
word.
The term,
yes, no, I'm allowed to. Civilians like to speak on behalf of porn stars as to why and how they end up in the industry, right? And I don't know what they say about why the men get into it, but with the women, it's always the same narrative.
It's always some broken.
They're damaged. Yeah. She's got daddy issues. Yep. She doesn't respect herself.
Yep.
But you guys constantly deal with young girls who are interested in getting into the industry. What are some of the reasons that they end up there?
So I think that these days, young performers think that they can get in very quickly and make a lot of money and be famous, whatever. I think famous is very subjective, right? It's a very individual definition. I think that a lot of the time they're disillusioned by maybe the way porn was 5 or 10 years ago, and also by the fact that when you're that young, you're bulletproof, right? Like, nothing's going to bother you. Nothing's going to ever come back on you. And the reason that I won't personally recruit, I'm grateful for my career, and I know that I will have an affiliation with the industry for my entire life, and I'm very proud out of everything I've done, don't regret a
great
thing.
I love to hear that.
However, it is definitely a scarlet letter. Even before the Donald Trump thing, there were people that already had formed opinions about me. And it, I mean, it's a matter of they won't even speak to me if they know who I am and what I do for a living. So I think that's the reason that I don't recruit people to be in the industry. But if a new performer or a potential performer comes to me for advice, I will tell them, great opportunities, but just know this will follow you for the rest of your life. And I think that, you know, the stigma of being a sex worker in general is something that we need to continuously combat, but we also need to allow for successful exit strategies. Like, when women are not happy in sex work anymore, whether it's porn or being a sex worker, they need to be allowed other opportunities as opposed to being forced to say things like, oh, I found Jesus now, I want to get away from all that. Yeah. Or it was a really bad time in my life and they're blaming it on something else. If it's not for you, that's cool. Respect yourself and move on. You know, I think we need to work on all of that.
It sounds really healthy.
Yeah.
Like the way you put it.
Thanks.
And ladies, it's a pleasure to have you both here this morning. Thank you for talking to us. Thank you for being so open and honest about the things
you
did talk about. All I can say is, for God's sake, do anything you want. Do not grab her by the pussy.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Unless you have consent.
that's kind of important.
That's it. Well, that is of the utmost importance. Right. That's the whole story.
Yeah.
Consensual.
I got you. And thank you very much for all the stuff that you've done to entertain us and to keep us excited.
Thank you.
It's very important. God knows how many men in wheelchairs and things you've helped as well. Yeah. You know, we mustn't forget there are a lot of people who have physical and perhaps even emotional problems, and then porn is possibly the only thing that makes them feel good.
Oh, I love making people feel
good. I do.
Wanna go make some people feel good?
Let's go make people feel good.
Where are we going to be today?
Right,
like, let's tell everybody.
This is Sexpo from today, 27 October to Sunday, 30th October 2016.
It's tongue-tied.
Do you want me to read that for you?
Yeah, here we go.
Should we read it? Should we just start talking?
11 a.m. to 10 p.m. today. And it'll be at Hall 6 Joburg Expo Center. That's at NASREC. Only 18 years or over. Make the moaning noises, then I can get this going properly. All right. The pricing is 100 Rand on silver.
Oh, so good.
250 on gold.
Love it.
1,000 Rand platinum. I wonder what that gets.
Even
you.
Better.
That probably gets you access to meet these ladies all on your own.
Maybe.
Tickets available from CompuTicket. Go to sexpo.co.za for all the information. Thank you so much, Tanya.
Thank you so much.
Jessica.
What
a pleasure to meet both of you.
Thank you.
Have a wonderful time at Sexpo.
We'll see you there.
Absolutely. Thank you. All right, here's what you need to know before we wrap it up this morning. Pravin Gordhan, the Minister of Finance, delivered the midterm budget yesterday. He literally put the president to sleep. It wasn't that the president was tired. It was that all the numbers being discussed simply made him freeze like an old BlackBerry. The next big disaster to hit South Africa landed this week. Stickies 2 has come to Pick and Pay, so parents are about to once again question the merits of childbirth as their offspring nag them day and night to go and buy excessive amounts of groceries just to obtain these pointless toys. And finally, the LPGA may have to change the venue for the 2017 Women's US Open as more and more complaints are surfacing about the tournament being played on a Donald Trump-owned golf course. Donald Trump told them not to bother as none of the golfers are attractive enough for him to make inappropriate advances on. That's us for the day. We'll see you tomorrow.
This is CliffCentral.com.